Every single action that you have ever taken started as a thought. So when you change the way you think, you will change the way you act, and you will change the way you live. That is hyperconscious.
No matter what you're going through right now or ever have gone through, the only way your life changes is if you change first. That is what we are here to help you do.
A huge shout out to our friend and mentor, David Meltzer of the Playbook Podcast, for sponsoring this podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another very special, as always, episode of the Hyperconscious Podcast. We have a very special guest today. She is a former pro golfer, a confidence and mindset coach, a motivational speaker, and the founder of Women with Class Mastermind. We are sitting down with Christina LaCure. How are you doing?
Hey guys, what's up? How are you?
We are living the dream. We are in the studio. This is our first guest episode in the studio. Don't mind the hole in the wall. That's where the TV's going.
If you didn't point that out, guys, no one would notice.
Well, I'll just cut that part out then. We're
just insecure about it.
Yes. So we always do this. The person you are today is the shining example of you. We're talking to that person today. You weren't always this person, and you've had several different parts in your life. Being a professional golfer, that's a whole thing. Who are you now, and where did you come from?
Amazing. That's such a great question to start off with. I'm Christina LaCure. Every single day, my goal is to be the better version of Christina LaCure. So when I get to the end of my life, this is kind of like an Ed Milet type of thing, but when I get to the end of my life, God shows me who I am, and I actually recognize that person, and I'm pretty darn close to that girl. I will tell you, 10, probably 20 years ago, I'd have absolutely no clue who the woman is that you're talking to today. So it's definitely been a journey for sure. And I'm, you know, a shining example that you can go from completely lost, unhappy, miserable, even though the external looked amazing, to truly fulfilled and living so in alignment, so with your purpose.
So can we go into that? Just because Alan and I both were six-figure earners in our mid-20s. We quote unquote had it all, had beautiful girlfriends, had all the nice things, and we were both miserable. And
yeah,
that was our kind of catalyst to make the changes that we made. You were a professional golfer. You're beautiful. You had a relationship. You were very successful financially. What was the catalyst? Like, what was the wake up day where you're like, oh wait, I'm not nearly as happy as I portray? Or was this something that you kind of always knew that you dealt with?
Okay, well, this actually happened. Like, let's take it back to the beginning. Normal, I'm originally from Canada. I now live in Arkansas. Normal, quote unquote, normal upbringing, great parents, two brothers, all the things. Two things happened when I was 18 years old. One, I started playing golf and I got extremely good, extremely fast. Like, I'm talking in the same summer, winning the first three tournaments I ever played in, getting a college scholarship a year later. Also, what happened when I was 18 is, well, I got good looking, to be honest with you. I went backpacking through New Zealand. I came home and all of a sudden people were like, damn, who are you? So at 18 years old, I got really good at golf and I got really attractive. And from that moment on, I got a ton of external validation. It's not like I was like completely like a misfit before, but those two things happened in conjunction with one another. And what happened was everyone was like, you're so good at golf. You're so pretty. You're so talented. Your life's going to be amazing, from about 18 to 28 years old. During that time, I was an All-American in college. I won five times. I turned professional. I was on television shows. I was hanging out with successful people. I was all of the things. But during that time, what most people didn't realize is that I had an eating disorder. I hated myself. I didn't know if I wanted to live, because my thought process was, oh my God, this is amazing. People love me. Like, I have to do all these things in order to gain that validation. I was addicted, truly an addict, to the external validation. I was on this hamster wheel of, if I lose one more pound, if I get one more client, if I, you know, win the golf tournament, if I, you know, all the should kind of things. And all of that, I was always striving for the next thing. I was never good enough. Like, I was never, and it wasn't like I had all of these people telling me I wasn't good enough. But you know, what happens is when you get all this external validation, and that is like something you begin to crave like a drug, you never feel good enough. I use the analogy of, I've always worked out on the Stairmaster. And someone said to me one time, they're like, have you gotten to the top yet? And that's like truly the way my life was, in the fact that like, I was never at the top. It was never enough. I could win. I could make the money. I could lose another pound. I could have all the things, but I was never happy. And so for me, it was like, my rock bottom came at about 28 years old. I was looking at other people's lives and everything was starting to not go well. And what I tell you is, if you are dying on the inside, like literally things are going to start to implode, because I believe that the universe will make them implode if you're not listening. And so for me, it was like, I was like 28 years old and I was like, there is other people on this planet that are happy, that have way less than I do. So how can I shift this? And that was really when I dove into self-development, 27, 28 years old, and I'm going to be 38 this year. So I've been on the journey for 10 or 11 years.
So I genuinely believe and not only in my own childhood and my own life, and I went through something fairly similar to you. I had a lot of success from a very young age, and I still have not yet hit puberty, which it sounds like you hit it at 18. So I'm still hoping that will happen at some point with the good looking thing. But but the point being is that I feel like we did sort of suffer a very similar thing. Again, we had all the externals that other people strive for. I was on a podcast earlier and he was talking about how like, that's what everyone thinks, you know, happiness is about. And that route started from a very young age. And what I believe now is that personal development, and we talked in the preamble about this, if you're happy, healthy, productive, and fulfilled, you're not going to hurt other people, you know? And so on the inside. And so from your perspective now, knowing what you know now, and again, I know you don't probably have that many regrets because you're grateful for where you are now, but if you could somehow get through to that 19-year-old girl who didn't understand what you just, the dots that you just connected, what would you actually say that might really get through to her if you can put yourself back there?
Such a great question. And you know, like I actually work with like clients now in my coaching practice and everything like that. And I you know, I'll get the like the 22-year-old who's like comes to me and like kind of curious, and I'm just like raving. I'm like, oh my God, you understand, like you get it. This is incredible, right? Like the younger it is. But then I also have the women who are in their 60s who come to me and they're like, am I too late? I'm like, do you still have a heartbeat?
Right.
If not, you're solid.
Right.
if so, you're solid. But what would I say? There's so many good ones. I would say number one, the more you are in service for others, the happier you'll be. It's not about you. Like literally, I know to the core of my being, this is not about me. It's so much bigger than me. I believe that I have just been given this gift and I live a totally blessed life. Like I say it every day, I live a blessed life to bless others. But it's not about me. Like the minute you make it about you, things get really hard. Things get really shitty. I would also say give up control. Like you can have these big audacious goals. Like I have awesome, amazing goals, but I have to give up the control of how they're going to happen. You know, control is that. And then two, at the end, or third one, I guess, at the end of your life, you literally are not going to give a shit what anyone said. And that is like the number one thing I see with women, especially, is caring so much about what others think. I preach it like almost every single day. If I can go to bed at night and know that I have trusted that still small voice within myself, I'm solid. Like I'm good. And I know that. Like it doesn't matter what anyone comes at me. I know that if I've done the best that I can and I'm listening to my higher power, it literally doesn't matter.
We did an episode yesterday on, that was a listener suggestion, a young lady, on being misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And Alan and I, we're misunderstood at times. We've been misunderstood throughout our lives through different things. How have you dealt with that? Because in order to become a professional anything, you're already 99% different than a lot of people. And now you're really leaning into who you are. And I love that. Like you're very confident, you're very certain, but you're also transparent, you're authentic. So how did you deal with that? Like, do you ever fear judgment today? And how did you get over that initially? Because it's usually that first hump that's like really hard to get over.
You know, I don't know when this podcast is going to come out, but obviously right now in the world, there's a lot of heaviness. There's a lot of things that are going on in the world where a lot of change is needed to be happening. And for the first couple of days of this whole experience, there was a lot of things that I was just like, oh my gosh, this is the, like, this is horrific and awful and crazy and all the things. And then there was a few parts of me where I got angry and upset, and because I didn't understand. And then there comes a time where I'm like, I felt like I was, and for the first time, like I'm talking for like 10, 12 years, for the first time, I felt myself like uneasy, like jumping on bandwagons and like getting, like just not feeling so sound in what I'm doing. And there was a couple times where I was attacked, whether, you know, if I was one side or the other side, like no matter what, you're not going to win, right? Like you're going to piss off someone. But one thing I knew in that moment was the fact that, like, really at the end of the day, I just have to trust myself. Like I just truly have to go with what is truly right within my soul. And the minute I did that, the minute I was like, okay, I kind of screwed up. I did something that I didn't feel was like super more authentic to me, but then I came back to myself. Like I came back to like truly what is important to me. And, you know, we were talking before this came on, Alan and I were like, really at the end of the day, like I know what my job here is on the planet. Like I help every person live in their purpose and, you know, feel so in alignment with what they do. That is my job on the planet. I know it like the sky is blue. So if I'm helping people live in their purpose and live more abundantly and live more with love and live more authentically and happy and all the things that you said, then I am doing something to change this world. And I'm doing it in my version. I'm doing it my way because we can all do something. And so I would just say, like, you know, just find out how you can truly just, like I said, go to bed at night and be so okay with what you're doing on a daily basis.
So my intuition, I was trying to ask myself, like, what question do I want to ask her? And what's interesting about what you said of living authentically, sometimes you have to cross the line to know where it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure like me, like Kevin, like you, you've probably found yourself with persons, places, things, and ideas that were not congruent in order to realize what is congruent. For maybe some of our younger listeners who don't have a great relationship with failure, and don't have a good relationship with making mistakes. Like making mistakes is proof you're trying. The key is to stop making them. So what is your suggestion to the younger listeners of like this fail forward concept, and how do we make it tangible and practical so that they can figure out what is in alignment and what isn't? Because when you're for something, you're automatically somewhat against something else. That's okay. But sometimes you got to go down that arena a little bit, at least dabble to realize, oh, this is not for me.
Yeah, such good questions. So the first thing I would say is, like, I tell people all the time, like, so I'm married, my husband and I have been together for 16, 17 years. And I have to say, I've said yes to him. So that means I say no to everyone else. So like, don't ever be afraid to say no. Like, it's amazing. I say no to everyone because I said yes to one thing that matters the most to me. Right. The other thing that I would say is, take fast action and then always trust yourself. Like there's no wrong answer unless you're quitting. Like there's no wrong answer. Like take an action and be like, oh, that felt really good, or that felt really wrong, and do something again. Like, and just keep going in the right direction. You know, there was a first time, like if I think back to like my career in golf, there was probably a few things that I did in the beginning when I was younger that like weren't in alignment with me. But the more I like kept doing things, the more I realized, I'm like, oh, that didn't feel good. And so when I was like in the midst of transitioning from playing full time to more of like the, you know, personality side or television side or whatever you want to call it, you know, I was told, like, you know, you got to hang around with certain people, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. You've got to get your boobs done, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. You got to like do all of these things. And I'd like, it would start out with like something so small, like going to do an event that I was like, ugh, I just really don't want to do this event. And I did it anyway. And like, I felt just like dumb about doing it. I was like, this is not in alignment with me. I don't want to hang out with these people, but I did it. I learned, and then I pivoted and I was like, I'm never doing that again. And like, guess what? I am not sleeping with anyone. Guess what? I'm not getting my boobs done. And the more that I was just like, and nothing against getting boobs done, I just want to put that out there because like tons of my friends have all the things. But for me, I was like such a hard no, because it was like, basically it was because I was told I should. So I was like, zero chance in hell. Like it just has to be in alignment with me. And so I would say, like, there's no wrong answer. And here's the thing. If I would have got them done, that's not a wrong answer.
Well, Kat and I had ours done. So.
Got them removed, though. It wasn't for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. But, you know, that's just like a silly example, but it's true, right? Like a lot of people go with the curve and a lot of women will say like, oh, I did it. I should have never done it. And some people are like, I did it. It was the best decision I ever made. But the more you are willing to take action, the more feedback that you will get. And there's never a wrong answer, in my opinion.
So this is my, I usually have like a 6-part question, at least one per episode. So first part, why did you get, like what got you out of golf? How did you know that golf wasn't this for you? Like what you wanted to be doing?
Okay, so playing golf was never something that I actually truly wanted to do. I was just told forever that you are so attractive and you're a North American and you've had the notoriety. The minute you get on tour, your life is gonna be perfect. You're gonna make all the money. People are gonna love you. You're gonna get all the endorsements, all the things. So I was just like, okay, well, this is what I have to do. And like my identity of who I was so wrapped up in what I did. Like that is the one thing that I tell people all the time. And so many people resonate with this. Like I even, like I don't talk a ton about it, but I have very successful male clients that are so wrapped up. They're like, I am this, I am nothing without this. And like one of the reasons why my social media handle, if you come find me on Instagram, is B Christina, is because every single day, my job is to be Christina. I could be podcaster Christina. I could be coach Christina. I could be wife Christina. I could be golf Christina, but I'm being Christina. And like that for me was such a shift that like, I am not just golf. And so I got out of playing golf because I was like miserable. Number one, like it was totally, and I wasn't good enough. Like end of story. I wasn't good enough to be the best in the world. Like I just didn't want to make that struggle best. But what I found out along the way by making a lot of small decisions and then pivoting was the fact that like I loved human beings. I loved human connection. And so what I did was I just pivoted. Like I did a golf show, like a reality show on Golf Channel. And like someone called me one day and they were like, hey, would you come hit some golf balls for our guys? And we'll pay you like $500 or $1,000 or whatever. And I was like, do what? You just want me to come and hit golf balls and bullshit with your people? I was like, sure. And then from that moment on, it was like just this like fast forward spiral thing that I was like, and people told me all the time, like what you're doing is not a job. And I was like, fast forward to where I was making like $10,000 a day and like flying all around the world. I was like, it's kind of a job, but you know, and I did it for like 10 years, but I just pivoted into that. And I still host corporate events today. I've raised over $1 million for charity. Like I have a lot of success in that, but now I can be very particular and be the fact that like I took what I learned playing golf, then put it into the skills of basically being a human connection specialist on the golf course is what I called myself. Basically, people just hired me to make connections. Like I'm a great people person and I just happen to be good at golf and I happen to look a certain way. So I took those three things and just made a career out of it. But obviously, I was surrounding myself with very successful people who all thought a certain way. And so that obviously wore off on me. And the fact that like I got into the self-development and I have the business asset. And so for me, it was just a very easy transition of like, oh my gosh, there is so many people in this world that are hurting, that don't believe in themselves, don't believe in their self-worth. They have zero confidence. And like, I know because I was that girl, I can help them get from A to B. So it was a very like natural transition for me.
So in the preamble, you and I talked a little bit about self-esteem and how the only way to build self-esteem is to keep the promises you make to yourself. And you mentioned actually a friend of yours who has, I don't know if you call them self-esteem cards or
daily agreement cards.
Daily agreement cards of stacking the daily agreements that you actually follow through and then build momentum. So for our listeners who during COVID and or all of the challenges going on right now, find themselves in an anxious place and they want to rebuild their self-esteem, how do you believe they should go about that?
So many good things. So first of all, I would say that like you're talking about, it's just a building. I believe confidence is the willingness to show up. And I believe confidence is a muscle. The more you do it, the stronger it gets, right? Like end of story. You're not going to be like magically wake up one day and confident. It's not like anyone was born confident. Like the more you do something, the more confident you become, right? I would say the number one thing, and a lot of people think that there's just like this magic pill to like success. And I 1000% believe it is like doing the little things every day, like you're talking about. But I would start with a routine. Keep yourself on a really, really like good small morning routine, because the small things build every single day. So in COVID, especially, like I was one of the first people. And you know, when this all went down, and this is a true story. So this all went down like beginning of March. I remember a Thursday and a Friday, I got phone call after phone call after phone call. Cause keep in mind, I still did corporate golf events. I lost over $100,000 of income in 2 days. And like, I literally just like had to kick back on Friday and be like, did this just really freaking happen? Like, holy shit. And like, don't get me wrong, I kind of wanted to panic in that moment. But like the very next day I was like, watch me. I was like, I guarantee you I'm going to come out of this pandemic better than I ever went in. And fast forward 3 months later, I've made up that money. I have had the best mindset. I have been the absolute pillar of strength for every single one of my clients. My husband and I are on the same wavelength. Like, I am fucking crushing COVID because I made the decision. Like, and I think every person has to not only make a decision, but act from the decision of where they want to go. So like, even if I'm having a bad day, how would the highest version of me show up? Right. Like, I literally could have had like a fight with my husband, my computer could have come crashing down, but I had a podcast scheduled with you guys and none of those things happened. But you know, I had a podcast scheduled with you. So how does the highest vibration of Christina show up for this podcast today? Like, I show up from the highest vibration of myself every single solitary time. And that is a promise that I make to myself on a daily. And it starts with a very strong routine. I have really great boundaries. I live in a constant state of gratitude. I surround myself with epic human beings. Like, I have zero time for negativity. Like, there's little tiny things every single day that are getting me to where I want to be.
I always do this like halfway through the episode. Everything is going amazing. And I love that. Is there anything that you're struggling with right now? Or what is something you're struggling with right now?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely time. I believe time is the most valuable asset on the planet. And I also believe, you know, I do have to sleep and I do have to like create boundaries are always really difficult. You know, I have great boundaries, but boundaries still are a difficult thing that I work on the daily. You know, I still have, you know, those small triggers that come up with family members, you know, like you still have those things on the daily. I would say like literally probably the most difficult thing in my life right now is just like always feeling like I have 8,000 things to do and trying to show up as my best version.
So it's very synchronistic that you said this, because I had never heard this before. And my girlfriend said this either last week or this week. She said, we say the devil and the angel thing, but what it really is your human self and your highest self. Mm. So I'm really grateful that you said that. You also mentioned gratitude.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is now I track PPT, peak performance tracking, for each of my clients. So I have 10 clients and they each have their own spreadsheet and they have a daily dozen system of success. So they don't wake up and wing it. They have routines, right? And what I found is before our calls, I've started summating each column and trying to pick out where their fears and uncertainty are. So if something's only getting done 20% of the time, most likely there's either a fear or a lack of clarity, something we can work on. But there's also the wins. Where are you hitting 100%? One of my clients is hitting 100% on daily gratitudes, and I'm seeing her play at a more confident, happier level than I've ever seen before. And it's so easy to correlate it. You've never missed a gratitude. And so for you and for our listeners, how important is gratitude? What is your actual daily gratitude practice? And how do you stay so consistent at it?
Oh, amazing. Okay. Like, I could talk on this all day. So what you focus on, you find. Like, that's not my line. It's someone's amazing line, but it's 100% the truth, right? Like, I even have a client in Australia this morning who messaged me and I was like, why the hell are you up? Number one. But number two, she's like, oh, I'm just like, there's so much good things in my life. And we've literally only been working together like 2 months. And I'm like, here's the thing. Let me tell you. The problem was before you had all the exact same shit in your life. It's just that you weren't focusing on it. But hey, I'll take the credit. Amazing. But like, number one, if you need to start with gratitude, you've never done it before, amazing tool. They have sponsored all of my events. You can get any type of journal you want, but get a gratitude journal. Like 5-minute journal is one of the most popular ones. I have a 5-minute journal. I probably have 10 of them that I've written in for years. Get a little notebook. I tell every single one of my clients, I have literally transformed my life on a sticky note, hands down. Like 100%, I have sticky noted my life. I have sticky noted my success. But get a sticky note and every morning do 5 things that you're grateful for. You know, when I first did this practice with my husband, oh my God, it was like the worst thing ever. I was like, hey, tell me 3 things that you're grateful for. Like 45 minutes later, it's like, coffee? Does that count? I was like, oh God. Like, you know, like all the things. When you start, it's so hard if you're not in the daily practice of it. Now, I don't even need a book. I still use a book, but I don't really need one. I do it before I get out of bed, before my feet hit the ground. I literally do not allow myself to get out of the bed. Even if I'm going to pee the bed, I have to go to the bathroom so bad. Like 5, 10, 15 things that I'm super grateful for, because the more you focus on, the more you find. And I want people to realize this too. Gratitude is not something that you do only when you're in a bad spot. And gratitude is not something that you do when you're only in a good spot. You do gratitude no matter what. End of story.
Fire. I love that. Non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Non-negotiable. Okay. So say I come to you, I say, Christina, I want to find my purpose in life.
Yeah.
What are some of the steps? Because I've been asked that a million times.
Yeah.
And it's always like, well, it depends. Like, I need some details. So what is your process of helping somebody without giving away the whole farm?
No, there's no farm. I'll give it all away.
Give it all away. What's the process?
You can Google the shit out of your life, or you can hire a coach to fast forward that shit. It's totally up to you. You can everything I do, I'm sure, is Googleable, but you don't want to Google anything because time is your most valuable asset. Hire a coach. Get around the right people. Like I say it all the time. Like, we can find all these things on the internet. Do you want to move this faster? Right. Okay, so the first 3 things I tell every single person in looking for their purpose is, number one, it's already in you. If you have a heartbeat, you were put here for a reason. So let's just figure out what it is.
Right.
First thing I always say is, you know, what sets you on fire? What makes you act like the way I'm acting right now, which is like coming out of my seat, getting super loud, like talk about it all day, veins popping in my neck. Like, what makes you that excited? Second thing, where do you see an injustice in the world?
Right.
Third thing is, what would you do all day for free if everything was already taken care of? So, you know, if we can look at my life, 100%, I would do this for free. I'm not getting paid by you guys. I would do this for free, 100%. I see a huge, huge, huge injustice when people disbelief in their purpose and their worth and their value, that they can't do something. And clearly I'm acting like an idiot because my voice is rising and like this is like something I could spout about all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So whatever that is for you, and like I've used this example in speeches that I've done before. Like, let's say you love baking cupcakes. You freaking love it. You absolutely love it. It's the first thing that you think about. You're so excited about it. You Google about it. You follow all the people on the Instagram or whatever, but you're like, that's like, how can that be my purpose? Like, I don't know how to make that a job. I'm like, I don't give a shit if you don't know how to make that your job right now. If that is something that like sets your soul on fire, you see an injustice where you're like, oh, you're doing it wrong, or that could be so much better, or all the things, and you do it for free anyway, do it just because you don't know how to make it a job. It may never be a job, but the more action you take, I 1000% believe you can make it a job. What stops people so often is the fact that they're like, well, I just don't know how to make that a career.
Nobody does it first. No. Nobody knows how to make it a career at first.
We didn't make money from this podcast for 2.5 years. Literally. Literally. I guess it's more of a question, but like when you're coaching somebody, and Alan and I do this, and I really leaned into this. Believe it or not, a lot of my clients are overworking themselves, burning out, and then having to take days or weeks off at a time. Mm. And I always say, like, I don't think you're going to hear this from many people, but like, do less. Do more, but smarter more. Like, you better be meditating. You better be doing your affirmations. What is your thought around that in terms of like, people say be productive. I think productive is also self-love. It's also others' love. It's also taking care of yourself. Like, how do you base your success regarding your productivity and your clients?
Oh, my success, number one, comes down to, do I believe that like I'm being a good human being? Am I staying like what's so true with me? Am I showing up as my best version of myself? And like, I am the first person to tell you that I literally could give a shit how much money I ever get to if it takes away the quality of my life. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my life. I love the things that I'm able to do with my life. But I 1,000,000% guarantee you, I would never give away long weekends with my husband or taking 3 weeks off at Christmas to get away. Like, I have a very good system of like, I can fit things in. I'm the person, I will work 18 hours a day as long as I can take something off if you know, whatever. But I think for me, for sure, just like having that like faith in myself, that like that small still voice of like, I listen to myself. Like, I know if I need to take a nap. I know if I am like, guess what? I said I'm not working this weekend. I'm not working this weekend. And I know when I am like, I can say no to clients. I'd be like, I'm so sorry, but like, I just don't have the space for it or whatever it is, right? Because I always know that I'm doing the best that I can. But I also know too, if Christina is not taking care of Christina and Christina is not taking care of her relationship, Christina is a big bag of shit for everyone else.
Kevin was a big bag of shit this weekend. my girlfriend and I had this talk because I was like, I just said like, you go do you. Like, I just need to be here and cry. Like, I just need to cry. I just need to let it out. Cause I was pouring into other people so much.
Yep.
And I just forgot about me. I was just like, oh, you know, I should be fine. I can handle all this.
Not
wrong. Wrong. Very wrong.
One of the things that I think we're all challenged with, and you mentioned this with one of Kev's questions. What are you challenged with today? It's like, there's so much to do. And I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding in all of our consciousness that we all have to proactively practice and work on, which is, if I say yes to this thing, I'm saying no to literally everything else. That's not even like woo-woo. That's like a fact. Like, we said no to everything else we could be doing with this unit of time to do this right now. How do people get better? It's not really time management. It's self-management, self-mastery. It's understanding your core values and your goals and making sure you're aligned with that. How do you personally use your intuition to know when you're not using your time wisely? And maybe you're not giving yourself the self-care or the personal development. Like, you're not taking the 30 minutes to read a book, even though it lights your soul on fire. Like, how do you know when you're off? Because I think our intuition's really hard to hear, especially when we're burning to the ground, like Kevin just described.
Yeah. It's so true. And I'm not going to pretend like I'm super amazing at it. Like, I literally know that about myself. But I also believe too that I ignored that small, still voice for a really, really long time. And like, I have had a lot of health issues. And I also know that a lot of those health issues were 100% manifested within my body because I wasn't listening to myself for such a long time. And so now I know that like, if I have a lower back pain, for me, that's where my pain manifests. That's where my stress manifests. That's like what happens there. I know that like, if I don't get enough sleep at night, like sleep is my absolute number one self-care, hands down, no question. Like, I know I am not going to be a good version of myself if I'm not getting a minimum of 7 hours sleep. I probably actually need more. But for me, it's like, I know my body will shut down. Like, I know that I won't think well. I know that all of those things will happen. So I'm like, I don't want that to happen. Like, I love my life. Like, I absolutely love my life. And I don't want to put my life on hold, I guess, if you want to call it, because I don't want my body to like shut itself down and be like, you're not listening to itself. You know, that I think that's an amazing question. I literally don't know exactly how I do it or why I do it, but I just have to put boundaries on my life. And like, I don't use my phone after 8 o'clock. I am pretty much in bed by 9 o'clock every single day. Like, I make sure that I don't work on weekends. Maybe like, I sometimes work in the morning from like 7 to 10, but then after that, like, I don't give a shit. It'll be there on Monday. I'll figure it out. And I think I have a relationship enough with my clients to know that like, they know I'm 100% going to serve them, but they also know that I teach them the exact same thing, that like, guess what? It's nothing is that important. Like literally almost nothing in my business and my life is that important, that nothing's an emergency and we'll figure it out when we can figure it out.
You're talking about lifestyle design.
That's yeah.
The thing. Like you're designing a life that you don't need. I mean, yeah, if you want to take 3 weeks off in Christmas break, like, yeah, do it. But like you still are getting your things done. And yeah. I think so many people are like running from their goal. They're doing it. And then when the timer goes off, they're like, okay, I'm done with this until this time. And I think like, I don't know. I think so many people do that. And we just talk about lifestyle design, designing your life the way that you want to wake up. You want to do your gratitudes before you get out of bed. Like you have a very well-designed life by the sounds of it.
Mm-hmm. I do. And I think what going back to that is you have to know truly what you want. Like I 100% know within my soul, I would never give up time for the most important like thing. Like I would never say like, okay, my business right now, you make $500,000, whatever. I would never like push myself to get that $1 million thinking that that is what's going to make me happy if it took away from the things that truly make my soul happy, like that make me the best version of me. And so I just know that, I guess. I just like, I'm very intuitive by like that. Like I'm not willing to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you know, bringing on things that are so, you know, not in alignment with me just to make $1 million because who the fuck tells you you have to do that? But I also know too, that if the universe wants me to make it, I will make it zero, like no question without giving up what I want.
One thing I want to say here is lately with COVID, there's no gyms open.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've made no progress in fitness and, mm-hmm. You don't always know how much you value something until you lose it. And I remember I used to say this. If someone came up to me and said, Alan, I'll give you $1 million to trade bodies with me, in a millisecond, I would say absolutely not, leave. Like there's nothing more important to me than my physical fitness. Right yeah. now, my groin is torn and I can't walk straight. It bothers yeah. me every second of every day. And it also gives me unbelievable compassion for those who don't have their physical fitness. And I'm so, so fortunate. And I often say to people, you don't have to go to the gym. No one has to. You mm-hmm. get to. We have friends that can't yeah. and they wish they could. And it's like, I just feel like we're really taking so much for granted. And I think that that's what all these challenges are showing a lot of us is like, look in that mirror, see where you're taking things for granted. But to get back to my question, it's what, if you could only leave our listeners with one thing, because the timer's yeah. coming up, one thing to improve the actual quality of themselves and the quality of their lives beyond any sort of success principle. What's one thing that you think would increase the quality of their life aggregate than anything else?
Learning to love themselves. Learning to like literally truly be okay with the person that you look in the mirror. The more I just think that if people love themselves more and if people truly like did what they could do to be the best version of themselves, nothing actually really matters. Like if you actually think about it, like you could take away everything. And as long as I had like myself, and as long as I had like, as crazy and fucked up as it even seems, because my relationship with my husband is like the most important thing. But I also know like somewhere deep inside me, I'd be okay. Like I've come to the point that like I like myself enough. I trust myself enough. I love myself enough to know that like, I'm going to be okay because I have faith in a higher power than myself that as hard as it becomes, I'm going to be okay. But I think that if you don't have that, life can get really sketchy and can get really hard. So the more that you work on yourself, I think the happier you'll be.
What is that work for you? Like your goal is to make people more confident, make people believe in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get to where you are? Obviously 11 years of personal development will do
yeah.
that, right? But like, what is a good first step? I'm a tactician, right?
Yeah.
So today I listened to this episode. What book should I read? What TED Talk should I watch? What habit should I start doing? Very similar to what Alan said.
Okay, perfect. So besides your podcast, of course, I think if you are a woman who is suffering, and even a man too, but specifically a woman is suffering with the low self-worth. I would say one of the best books I ever read that changed my life for sure was called The Gifts of Imperfection. Mm-hmm. I think that that's one of the best. Jen Sincero's book, You Are a Badass, is actually one of the top ones I actually suggest as well. There's another one called Chase the Lion. There's another one, you know, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. I think that's super good. Those are probably the best books that I would probably suggest. For podcast wise, I think like it really truly depends on like kind of what the demographic is. But, you know, I really love Lori Harder's podcast, Earn Your Happy. I love Ed Milet's podcast. I think that that's a really great one. I'm very much into listening to like a Joel Olstein podcast. Obviously, my faith is a big thing. Yeah, just any self-development that makes you think like grander and bigger and helps you change your thoughts. There's a lot of TED Talks that I think were like that are super good. Anything like you have to find what works for you. And like, I don't really think that there's like one self-development fix for all, but like really at the end of the day, and I know this is so weird to some people because it's like kind of a bit woo-woo, but really I truly believe that I have just brainwashed myself. Like honestly, I tell my clients all the time, I was like, my goal is basically just to brainwash you. And I brainwashed myself into believing something that I never believed before. I brainwashed myself into believing things that haven't even existed already exist. I have brainwashed myself into changing thought patterns. Like, it's really just showing up every single day and changing your thought patterns.
That's fire.
I've said to people, and Kevin's heard me say this, I will literally, if you get in my orbit, brainwash you into believing in yourself.
Yes. I tell all my clients that. Like, and because that's what I've done.
Right.
I have literally sticky noted my life to brainwash myself for things that of like, there's no reason on the planet why they should have happened. But I'm like, of course they fucking happened. Yeah. Like, I believed them before they even existed.
We did that. Like, I've been journaling. I do like quantum journaling. I'm grateful for the studio. We didn't have, this wasn't even a thing.
Yeah.
My relationship, I was single as a Pringle when I was writing down, like, I have a fulfilling, amazing, not just a relationship. I want the most amazing things out of life. All right. You survived the hyperconscious gauntlet. Let the listeners, because they definitely love you after listening to all that, let them know where they can find out more about you. I know your masterminds are popping. You're very full, but where can they learn more about you and listen to you even more?
Absolutely, for sure. So I do masterminds, retreats, one-on-one coaching, and I have a live event every year. Those are the four things that I stick to because those are what I'm just like the best at in order to serve my clients. I am at B-E Christina, so C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, B Christina on all of the socials. But I'll be honest with you, I only stick with what I really love, which is Instagram. That's where you can find me mostly. There's stuff on Facebook and Twitter and all the things, but Instagram at B Christina. I'm not even going to give you my website because my last name is really hard to spell and say. So at B Christina, you can come find me. Trust me, if you want to find me, you'll find me.
It'll be in the show notes. So they'll have access to the website.
Awesome. I promise.
This has been wonderful. Thank you so much for taking us through your journey, because at one point you were not confident, you were not happy, and now you are glowing and shining at your fullest. It's pretty awesome to see. And anyone listening, you can do that too.
Yes.
This was 12 years into personal development, you said?
Yeah, probably 11.
Okay, well, you're shining very bright, and I think it's the inner work that you've done. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
This was a genuine pleasure, and we'll have to do this in person eventually. That's always our goal, to do a round 2 in person. So we appreciate you. We hope you have a wonderful day. I know you're hopping on another interview, so we'll chat with you soon.
Talk to you
soon. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, it would mean the world to us if you would share this with your friends.
And if you have any questions, please reach out to Kevin or myself. Our contact information is in the show notes, and we can't wait to hear from you.
Guys, we wouldn't be able to do this without you. So if you would kindly leave us a review on iTunes, that would help us make more people hyper conscious.